said, if you don't know, how do you know we can't come? That was to to explain this life of ours. We're living it, but we are clueless, we are clueless. So the reason for being clueless, because the first three very important questions was not asked. Who am I? Where did I come from? And where am I going? These three was neglected. And instead of these three questions, we have piled up this temporary knowledge that add up to absolutely a roof on our head and a modern car and nerves breaking for keeping it together. So, which brings us to our topic of tonight. We have talked about that before, we're just going to emphasize, and I think you will benefit from it. One of the main, I assume that all of us that are sitting here would like to know the wisdom of who we are. One of the main thing in this lifetime, for this path, is discrimination. Can anybody say what kind of discrimination it is, Tony? You know it very well. You might not know it the way I said it. Okay, anybody knows discrimination?
What is reality, what is not?
Yes. What is temporary, what is not? Using the sword that Tony uses. And when we eliminate what is temporary, we have eliminated everything seen, heard, touched, tasted, and gathered by the mind. This is how it happens. When we are oblivious to the truth of the temporariness of this world, we take everything seriously. Everything our kids does, we take seriously. Anything that happens to our house, we take it seriously. Anything that happens to our dog, we take it seriously. Anything that happens to our job, we take it seriously. Everything is constantly serious, serious, serious. Why? Because we don't know it's temporary. We don't know it's 1 minute here, 1 minute not. And the reason we get together in places like this, wherever it is because we have become frustrated by this. We have picked up some frustration that, okay, what is the end of this? I clean up this mess and this happens. I clean up this, this happens. And finally, if we are not immune to our mess, some people are immune and you can't help them. They are just so used to cleaning up mess, there's no end to it in this lifetime. So if we don't, by the grace of God, we don't have immunity and we're sensitive. For those of you that are sensitive, that's a blessing. Because the sensitivity makes you not withstand it as long as your neighbor does. And then what happens? You say to yourself, I have had enough. What is the meaning of this life? What is the meaning of all this gathering and searching and seeking and giving and receiving? And at that time, you're ready to begin to discriminate. What is real? What is not? What is real? And by doing that, we begin to throw away a hell of a lot of thoughts. Because there is not a grip in every thought that passes by. It doesn't grip us. It doesn't infatuate us. It doesn't tempt us anymore. We know the nature of it. I know who you are. You can't come with me. Therefore, why should I give you as much love as you need it? Attachment, what I mean by love. So this is a yoni's mind, the enlightened mind. It's the mind that has already done discriminating and taking away the false and keeping to the truth, which is only one. And I don't know how many of you were here when I give the example of in my country and also other countries that are not very advanced. You throw the rice in a big tray, and then the rice usually has some other stuff in it, like rocks, the pebbles and stuff. And so very professional grandmother goes like this until the rice is completely devoid of dust and dirt and all of that, and then cooks it for the family. And how much more isn't that beautiful what we do individually on our own life to not allow the garbage to sit on us by this discrimination. We had a gathering on Sunday in our house. It was a wonderful gathering. One of the ladies, a German lady, said, what do we do with all that junk that is happening in this world, the chaos that is happening in this world? Well, she wasn't cleaning her rice. If she cleaned her rice, she would understand there is only good rice in there. She had not done the homework of discriminating and realizing that whatever is happening in this world, whatever is happening to Mother Nature, it is not our doing and is not our doing. Do you follow this? This might not agree with you at all. But what I've realized, which you can throw it away if it doesn't fit, is that this creation goes through evolution and back. Back, forth, forth, back. Only to give a chance to discriminate and get out of the wheel of cause and effect. It is there for those few at a time which they awake and they are thrown out of this wheel that constantly goes. Is it good to be careless with the nature? Absolutely not. Is it good to be like Hans and propaganda about a better way of air and pollute less water? Yes, absolutely. But if he gets his job too seriously, thinking he is the doer, he's going to fall into that hole of his job. So it is wonderful to serve, but to think that you are serving because you're saving the world, I have news for you. You clean here, this will happen. It's supposed to happen. And there is absolutely no end to it. So the cleaning is only cleaning ourselves and releasing ourselves. Now, why do I talk this way? To give the importance of how unimportant everything is. It is very important to realize how unimportant it is. And yet we can play it. We can become the most fantastic actor and actresses that in the end would they give us an Oscar. But we need to know we are actor and actresses. Otherwise, we become a doer. Doer has karma, has reincarnation, has thousands and millions of laws of creation upon them. So they get limited and more limited and more limited until they're crashing their bones under it. And so this is good news. It was good news, wasn't it? So the sort of discrimination that I gave about many years ago, and Tony walked in a couple of years ago and he picked it up right away, is the sword that is invisible, is a sword of the truth. And we need to use it. It's not enough to have it in our hand. We need to use it in our thoughts, words, and deeds. So we go. Everything that is taking too much time in our mind, everything that is negative and dragging us down, and this sword is being used by discrimination and stop. Discriminate what it is and don't go with it. That's a stop. But if we don't discriminate, how would we know when to stop and not to stop? So, any comment or question on that part?
The question about the stop meditation only because of the experiences I have just now. Mm-hmm. I was able to focus and look, and pretty soon there was no thoughts except the awareness of the breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And the awareness of the breathing did not go away,
mm-hmm.
regardless of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
The concentration on the spot turned so that instead of seeing the spot, there was light coming at me as it was.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then after that, it turned into just plain light.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless of what I did, it was constant. The awareness of the breath was still there.
Mm-hmm.
Is that acceptable? Because it, you know,
you tell me. You had an awesome experience and you asked me.
No, is that, you know, because there was the thought.
You know what? Once you stop, then the experience is tailor-made for you and for you and for you. The only thing I wanted to do to communicate with this meditation, because this meditation came from within. So I want to make it pure as it is. And as long as you don't go back to that meditation that you do with closed eyes, you are doing it. But if you fall back into that comfort zone of meditation, then you're missing the point of being here and now very vigilantly. Now, in that vigilance, the world might disappear, but you are vigilant. You didn't lose your vigilance.
No, my point of concentration did disappear, but I was.
But you were vigilant here and now.
My eyes were open, but not focused, and not in the center.
I can't argue with your experience at all. Any other? How was it, the second meditation? Did you find it easier? Was it easier for you, Scott, for being in the crowd?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good accomplishment because, again, it's the art of living, so it's very easy to accomplish on your own in a solitude. Again, we're trying to give a merging of marriage between spiritual practice on your own and being in the world but not of it, where you can just be around your children and not of it. You know, be very vigilant about what they're doing and yet not sucked into their world of activity. And that goes for work, that goes for vacation, that goes for whatever you do, Otherwise things begin to be very calamitous because we have not fed that state of being. So since we have lived in the region of the mind, everything can become out of proportion with it. It's like magnifying glass. You know how when you put a magnifying glass under the sun, how it can burn the thing? Just imagine if your concentration is on the mind, what it can burn by that energy. And when that concentration is in the heart, which we did tonight, it can burn the thoughts. That's nice. Did I talk too much for you guys? So that's the first time you saw light with the eyes open like that?
Yeah.
The first meditation we gave in this room was the light meditation. And I used to say to everybody that even though you're imagining the light, believe me, is everywhere, and that's what it is, which is really good for kids.